Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, you're tuning into a special session live in studio on Heritage Radio Network. We are in Roberta's talking about brisket with Daniel Delaney and Hunter O'Gary from Brisket Town. Hey, guys.
Woo.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going.
It's great.
Yeah. Great. Daniel, you were recently crowned the Brisket King of New York City.
We were crowned the Brisket King of New York.
You were collectively crowned.
We were collectively crowned.
Yeah. How does it feel?
Wonderful. It's cool. I feel like, there's supposed to be like an Oscar-winning...
I think it warrants an Oscar-winning kind of a speech.
I think that the cool thing about it is that we have a really simple product.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we put salt and pepper on the brisket and smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people that had really complicated things.
Yeah.
Which were fine, which were great, but... I think that it's kind of cool that the like simple, straightforward, classic preparation was the one that took it.
Hmm. So you've actually said it's the least innovative barbecue in New York City. What is the secret behind the simplicity and the traditional preparation that makes it so good?
I'll have to toss that over to Hunter.
Oh, well. we're really just using wood, salt, and pepper and everything. So, I don't know. There's no gimmick. There's no... special sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that.
But now you kind of had this like R&D effort around your brisket. Can you talk about that a little bit? What the process was like?
Well, yeah, the labs, right?
Yeah.
So we got people to... We had like this beta series where we pre-sold brisket and we got people to come and help us develop the product. They like beta tested for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Hunter and I carting meat from New Jersey.
A lot of sleepless nights.
A lot of sleepless nights.
Okay.
More for him.
Yeah. I did the night shift most of the time. I was okay with it. I liked it.
So how many versions of brisket did you go through before you came upon this perfect...
It's still changing.
It's, yeah. I mean, we're done with it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Drastically, too. So drastically for us is like we use 3% more salt.
Uh-huh.
And we, like, from day one, we never put anything on the brisket besides salt and pepper. Right. It was never like, oh, maybe we should have turmeric and coriander on it. It was always salt and pepper. But it, so like, the iteration comes in micro tweaks.
Uh-huh.
Like, how, at a certain point in our process, we wrap it in butcher paper.
Right.
And, like, so literally, like, what, how do we fold that paper? And that's a different product. So it's like, super... Super minute changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who is the master taster that evaluates those products for you? Is it you guys? Is it your customers?
I feel like at this point I feel like it's really just three people that are iterating on the like direction of the project. Hunter weighs in. I think that we have this guy, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
He's our kitchen manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the interesting thing, so we cook offsite. We have a restaurant and then our kitchen's offsite.
Right.
And so like when we take a piece of meat and we first cut it, it's over 36 hours before then like somebody gets to taste that.
Right.
So it's kind of like this very slow, iterative process. It's not like we are cooking a burger and we're like, oh, add more salt. And then, so we go through, you know, a large volume of meat and then learn from that. And then we won't see a change for a number of days after we decide to make a small change. So, and that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Great. So why brisket?
It's the hardest. Right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
It felt the most egregious. It felt dirty and like, fatty. There's something I feel like for me, and I, this is just in my head. Maybe it's false. I don't know. But I felt going into it that it had the most sort of lore around it.
Right.
It felt like the one that was the hardest, as Hunter was saying, it's like the sort of like evil villain in the barbecue, you know, sort of the barbecue scene, the one that nobody gets right and everybody sort of fails to. I mean, it's easy, I think, to make pulled pork.
Mm-hmm.
It's like easy to make ribs. I don't think that. I mean, there's just so much more forgiving.
Right.
But the brisket is not.
So you get to be the hero that conquered that villain.
Right. I mean, they don't have like king of pulled pork of New York. Nobody would. I don't know what it is. It's like unsaid.
Right.
Don't you think that there's something like, I'm going to come in, I'm going to face you.
I need that eye.
Reorienting in the studio, a little bit of a furniture shift around. So can you talk a little bit about before Brisket Labs and Brisket Town, before you were the king of brisket and the brisket guy, you had a web series.
No.
Yes. Yes, you did.
It's a lie.
What?
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that kind of led you to where you are now?
It's a direct correlation. I did the web series. I traveled for food. I don't mean to change the topic, but I think these people are reviewing the pizza. She's writing notes.
So we're in Roberta's right now. Yeah. Bushwick's premier pizza place, and we're observing the crowd. We'll see. There might be a review in the future, Roberta's, just FYI.
Right. So yeah, I was doing a show for a number of years about street food and traveling, and that's how I got to Texas. That's how I got to eat this good Texas-y barbecue. Mm-hmm. And it was through a relationship that I made while doing the show that I was able to get a smoker to bring up to do this whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. And can you talk about your role a little bit, Hunter?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I've been Dan's friend for a good number
of years.
It's
a tough job.
Yeah, it can be.
It is.
It can be. We've had our ups and downs. It's been a long marriage. Yeah. Well, I don't know where to start. Well, I guess I was in North Carolina living there for like an indefinite period of time, and then
you were there for like 2 weeks.
No, it was I was supposed to go to New Orleans. I was supposed to take a road trip down south.
Uh-huh.
And I even, like, went through the work to, like, get my mother's car. And basically, Dan was like, listen, I want you to do this brisket thing with me. Can you come up? So then I was determined I wanted to get a motorcycle. So I bought a motorcycle, learned how to ride it, and then I rode it up to New York. And then basically ended up living at his parents' house over the summer, smoking meat at night.
Usually, wow.
And carving meat and stuff. But, you know. It's been a good...
Quite the adventure.
A good time.
The whole thing is really bootstrapped.
Yeah.
We were, like, my family let me put the smoker in the backyard, and we brought up all this wood, and then we just... But it was kind of that we were either at the smoker, putting wood in the smoker, or, like, commandeering their kitchen. Like, totally, like, getting... And the other thing, my father is obsessive. Like, he's obsessive compulsive and, like, a germaphobe. So he had, like, you know, meat blood on the kitchen floor, and he was, they were trying to support
only
it.
Only parents love to put really, up with that. Only,
and they were trying to support it, so he would buy things like he would get like buy like a one, next day we'd be there, and he would have purchased a plastic mat mm-hmm. that we were to roll out every time, and he would give us instructions to like how to shake it out so no grains of salt would get into the house and.
Mm. Did you have to do like the Dexter plastic wrap in the entire room?
Yeah, it was kind of like
that. It was kind of like that. Yeah.
Well, I remember going to sleep in what was your old bedroom, and there was a time where I woke up and there were like pepper flakes on my face, like little chunks of the peppercorn. And I think you had it like in your hair or something because we were sharing.
Was that your come to Jesus moment of, oh my God?
It was some kind of realization. But it was fun, and then eventually we moved it to Brooklyn, and that made I think life a lot easier.
Now this was all over last summer, so summer of 2011.
No, this summer. This,
right. Yeah. Oh, right. 2012. Yeah.
Right.
So this past summer, you were making brisket from your parents' backyard.
Yes.
Today
we didn't tell anybody that that's what we were doing.
Sure, of course not.
It was illegal.
And today you are not illegally selling your brisket out of a beautiful storefront in Williamsburg. How did that happen so quickly?
I don't know. Like, it just sort of happened. It's weird to say, but I mean, like, it's weird. I still look at it and I feel like it happened really quickly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people spend like 2 years opening a restaurant.
Right.
We got the lease on October 1st and then we opened up November 15th.
That's unbelievable.
So it was very, very quick. And we did it. It was like a complete transformation of the space.
Yeah. And it's a very beautiful space. Everybody listening should go check it out.
Yes.
That's right.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's been super rapid, but it's been good. The response has been good. We have fun, interesting plans coming up for the summer.
Oh, can you share any
I can't
of
share them yet, but...
Top secret.
We're expanding.
Yes.
Which is going to be cool. It's all super duper fast.
Yeah. So I've noticed that, you know, in addition to your kind of traditional philosophy on the food itself, that plays into sort of everything that you do in the restaurant, you know, from the music to the design. So can you talk a little bit about kind of the inspiration and if you have a general philosophy on that and the experience you want your guests to have?
I think that on the whole they hate the music.
Well, the music's changed. I mean, I play my own music when I'm in the restaurant.
I know, I have to prevent that.
Right. Well, it was the one Francois Hardy thing. It skipped. It was just a skipping MP3. So it was looping.
I feel like that doesn't even exist in the real world.
I know. I don't know how that happened. But.
It's kind of like there's that quote which says, food is the most primitive form of comfort. And like, there's something to me about barbecue, which is that it's like, it's our oldest food form in the country, or our oldest unique food form, and...
Is that true?
No. Totally full of shit. Of course, yes. It's our unique contribution, maybe in the way that, like...
The original American contribution.
And so we just paired that with, like, older, original American music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your sign... Your neon sign has become like an icon. And you have a cool story about it. Can you share that story?
I think actually the neon sign is an icon because the restaurant's so dark. No, it is. The restaurant's, because I look at it, unless everybody hates the food, but there are no photographs of the food on like Twitter and stuff. But I think it's because the restaurant's very dark.
Yeah.
And
and because the sign is very unique and iconic.
So you think people have a quota, like, all right, took one photograph here?
I think so. It's how you prove that you've been to Brisket Town.
People take a lot of photographs of the sign. A guy, awesome guy in Austin made the sign for us. And kind of, by making the sign, designed the logo for the company, too.
Mm-hmm.
He has a company called Roadhouse Relics, Todd Sanders. And he designed it, and he bent it all, it's a neon sign, did it all by hand, and sent it up.
It was broken when we got it.
We got it broken. Yeah.
But it was just a pack, it was just a shipping issue, but...
Maybe.
Well, that's true.
Maybe there was, like, a vendetta, like, he didn't want Texas barbecue to succeed.
Someone in Texas doesn't like us.
Kicked it.
So you also have a really interesting bathroom.
In my home?
No. In Brisket Town.
What makes it so interesting?
You know, it's got kind of like the old sink and the old trash can, and then you've got all the different culinary books.
Yes.
I think you shared that Adam Rappaport took a picture from there once.
Adam Platt,
sorry. Yeah.
Who's Adam Rappaport?
I don't know.
Just made that up.
I think I just made that up.
Yeah, I don't know. And somebody else took a photograph of the bathroom too yesterday.
There's a window. There's a window in the door.
Yeah, and there's a window on the door. It's
with
pretty
curtains.
Yeah,
that's a weird thing.
I don't like that. I think it's strange.
Did you come up with that, or was that there?
The designers of the space found that door in Build It Green, and put it in.
Ah, interesting.
And then the guys over at Kill Devil Hill made the curtain. Very local.
Very.
But it is weird. I'm actually always. I always feel like I feel very uncomfortable going to the bathroom there because I feel like people are looking. But I feel that even at home.
You have two doors in your private bathroom too.
Where?
In your apartment.
Oh yeah,
you have the double door, two entrances.
I don't know. Do you think that we should change the door at the restaurant?
Oh, I know. I think it's fine. I thought that we should like screen it with something, like use like a cheesecloth.
I wanted to put, you know, the fake snow, like when you want to make it wintertime in your home, you get this like can of like spray snow stuff.
That could work. And I think the curtain's just odd. Because one time I think I brushed against it, and there was like a sliver, which could have been like an eye hole. Not that I think anyone's looking, you know, but they could.
All right.
I'm always...
we're talking about the Brisket Town bathroom here on Heritage Radio. We're going to cut to break and come back shortly with Daniel and Hunter from Brisket Town.
You're listening to Election by Iggy Dean on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Heritage Radio. We are here with Hunter and Daniel from Brisket Town talking about briskets. And speaking of meat, can you talk a little bit about where the meat from Brisket Town comes from? And
the alley.
Your philosophy on it? The alley.
We try and buy the cheapest hormone-packed meat possible. That's what we go for at Brisket
Town. It's like $1 a pound.
It's like, well, when they overcharge us. Right. 65 is the... No, we have two sources. One, and is Heritage Foods.
Ah, great.
Oh, we get our pork. Do you know that?
Oh, that's odd.
Oh, that's odd, yeah. Wonder why they had us on the show. We get our pork from Heritage. Pork ribs, and mm-hmm. We get picnics. And we get our beef from... Our beef is from, right now... Our beef is from La Frida.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what part of the cow is the brisket exactly?
I guess you could say, I usually describe it as this like pectoral front leg muscle. It kind of wraps around.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one piece.
Is there a lot of it? So are there two then?
There's always two.
There are two per animal. If it has four legs.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's like breast.
Right.
Breast of cow.
Like a chicken breast.
Huh.
But on a cow.
Yeah.
Right.
The chicken breast of the cow.
Right. That's what they call it. That's what they say in Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a very tough piece of meat because of this. Because it's what the cow uses to stand up on.
Right. It's a well-used muscle.
Exactly. So that's why you really got to cook the hell out of it.
That's why it's such a challenge. Right. You have to conquer that.
Well, no. It's a challenge because it's two connected muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And one is a muscle that has a lot of collagen in it and a lot of fat in
it. Right.
And then there's another muscle that's very lean.
Mm-hmm.
It has almost no fat inside of it.
Yeah.
And one side of the brisket is really thick, and the other side is very thin. and there's a river of fat that connects the two. So it's tough because it's hard to get the leaner side of the brisket to be free of, the fattier side to be free of excess collagen and free of connective tissue and to like cook out this like river of fat without mm-hmm. drying out the side that doesn't have much fat. That's why it's hard.
I see. That's a great explanation. So you told me over the break that you were going to reveal some secrets, in fact.
Well,
about what's coming up.
I don't think we have
town.
Any secrets. Do we have any
just
secrets?
Just the MS.
Oh, no, we never flavor enhancer. You know, the biggest thing, it's weird, people at, you know, do you get this, where people are like, so what's the temperature?
Right. They always want to know. It's like talking shop. It's like how many, you know, the horsepower of a car or something like that. they'd like, some people, I'll just give them like a loose number, and then they really want to know, like, well, how long? And at a certain point, I just find it to be a strange thing to ask, like, all these details about
it. Right. They want your secret recipe.
Well, it's riddled, right, with like, secrecy.
Hmm.
Barbecue is in general. Like, the pitmasters, they don't want to talk about, like, oh...
No, of
course
not.
Secret rub and blah, blah, blah. But the thing, the real reason I don't like answering it is that it doesn't matter what I say.
Mm.
Because, like, what the temperature set that we use for our briskets, first, like, it works because of the smoker that we have.
Right.
If we had, like, a different smoker that was designed differently or was a different size or shape, we would probably have to completely alter our, like, set of numbers, our set of temperatures that we hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, a one-size-fits-all thing.
Sure.
So it's almost, like, misleading to say, oh, yeah, we cook at 320 degrees for 3 hours or whatever it is.
Right.
Because, like, that person will go home and do that with their little, you know, Smoky Mountain Weber thing, and they'll just destroy a 7-pound brisket because it's just going to burn up.
Mm.
So it's just super hard to generalize, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could say that we do low and slow is our technique. It's a general technique among anyone that's smoking.
Well, some people do hot and fast.
True.
I
guess our general technique.
Our general technique.
Low and slow.
Low
heat for long hours.
Yeah.
I think you're just being evasive. I think you guys are continuing to perpetuate the secrecy. That's okay, though. I'm in favor of that.
I mean, you know.
Everything should have
its... So we start off with a low temperature, and then we finish with a hot temperature.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Great. Well, the important thing is that it's delicious, so I can attest to that. You also have a pie program.
We do.
Tell me about your pies.
We have pies on the menu. We're changing up our pie program right now.
Oh, yeah?
It's going through a lot of changes, yeah.
Okay.
But I think that what you'll be seeing soon is a greatly expanded pie menu. Actually, I think that...
Do people come just for the pie, ever?
Not yet, but I think soon.
Really?
We're going to we're gonna make pie as an important part of the restaurant. I think we're going to create a big pie case and have, like, a lot of flavors of pies.
Uh-huh.
It's just... I think we're going to blow it out right now. Yeah.
That's great.
And we open up... We start in a day. We're doing lunch in a day.
Wow.
I'm just trying to figure out how much shit I can plug right now.
Okay, what's lunch at Briskintown going to be like? Is that also going to be just like a mountain of meat?
No.
I don't think I could eat that for lunch and then go back to work.
Well, you eat a lot of vegetables, too.
I do, personally, eat a lot of vegetables.
it'll be some sandwiches, maybe some soupy things,
uh-huh.
maybe some chili-like things.
Right.
We have the breakfast tacos. They'll be available for lunch. Low, like $10 or less.
Great.
Yeah.
Sign you up. Yeah. If there are vegetables involved.
No.
Well,
no.
Pickles.
Even if not.
Yeah. Some cabbage.
Great. So what are your plans for the summer? Do you have any exciting developments coming up?
We have some really exciting developments.
Some really exciting
Super
developments
exciting
that you can tell
developments.
Us about?
In your neighborhood, too.
In my neighborhood?
In
my neighborhood is the West Village, actually.
Yeah.
So
but that's all I can say.
Wait, you're crossing a bridge to Manhattan?
We are crossing a bridge to Manhattan.
No.
Great leap.
It's a big thing.
Is that painful? No, it's okay.
I'm excited about it.
That sounds great.
It's going to be good. It's going to be
You know, Manhattanites need
They don't need any
brisket and good food too.
I guess so.
It's true. You can't keep all the meat in Brooklyn.
There's a lot of meat in Brooklyn.
There is a lot of meat in Brooklyn.
It's like a meat city.
It's a meat. It's kind of like the meat circuit. There's like a Williamsburg meat circuit.
There is.
Yeah. Do you feel proud to be a part of that? I think you should be, actually.
I don't even know that we are a part of it.
No?
We haven't been in... I don't... We weren't invited.
You weren't
invited. I don't know.
You weren't invited to the crew.
I would happily be part of it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So, okay, what about events?
Events?
Yeah. You guys have been a part of a lot of events lately.
What do you
want? Is there anything else coming up?
We have the wedding.
Oh, yeah. We're getting married.
Oh.
Hunter and I
congratulations. Yeah, not good. Enough to go into business together.
Nope.
And you have to get married, too.
Well, the time in my parents' house. And
the, you know, the shared bed.
Yeah.
Peppercorns.
It's going to be I hope it's a raucous summer for us. We have one
cool
announcement, and I think there might be a few others. I think it's going to be fun. I would love to just spill the beans right now, but I'm contractually not allowed to.
Just watch the glass.
So frustrating.
It's liquid. It may come out.
I'm drinking Tito's vodka.
Wow. Thanks for sharing with everybody.
There are sponsors, so we have to plug them whenever we go.
The finest vodka.
It's a really good vodka.
It is good. From Texas. And it's from Texas, right.
Jinx.
That's great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in today and talking about brisket meat and expansion. It's been an honor to see how you guys have grown so quickly and bringing the good food even to Manhattan, where I live.
Can I plug something?
Yeah.
Everybody should go to birthdaymeat.com because we give away free meat on your birthday.
Yeah, birthdaymeat.com.
That's right.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you again for coming, for Thank being you. Here with us. Thanks everyone, for listening. And we are out.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.